This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Chattanooga leading Illinois by one with 17 seconds left. Illinois going to the line. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Jerry Klein, head coach of Crete and Durham Hall. They are going back to the state tournament. They were runner up there last year. I mean to tell you, they had to earn it last night. It was some kind of a basketball game. Jerry, thank you for joining us.
Max, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you having me on, buddy.
Can you explain how this thing ended last night with Eastridge? And everybody kind of thought it would be Eastridge and Crete Durham Hall in the section finals. It was, and then it was decided in the final minute. What happened?
Well, I'll be honest. The last 3 years, we played Woodbury and Eastridge in the section finals, and we've been fortunate enough to get the win. And all of them have been on the last plays of the game made by Trey Holloman. And we're lucky to have five on our side, I'll tell you that. He just makes plays.
What did he do? Didn't he have the game winner last night, or what was it?
Yep, he had we had the ball with 17 seconds left.
Wait, now you're down by one at the time, or what?
Yeah, we're down 51-50. We're down one, and he just makes a nice play and hits a 15-foot jumper with 2 seconds left, and it was good enough to be the game winner.
Wow. Illinois, by the way, hits the free throws and win it 54-53. Wow, just barely, Jerry, and that's why that we love the tournaments, just like your game last night. We'll come back to college basketball in a minute, but they've got Kendall Blue, of course, and you guys know each other well, and I understand it was a pretty good atmosphere out there last night.
Oh, just a great high school environment. It's what high school hoops is all about, and March Madness, and just Eastridge brought it, and their kids played hard and played well, and they're well-coached, and I just I'm so happy for our kids and our coaching staff and our community. We just, they made a 10-0 run, and we never backed down and kept our composure and played through a lot of adversity. And it was a well-fought game, and we're just fortunate enough to be moving on to next week.
How do you guys compare to last year's team that went to the finals, lost to Wayzata?
Yeah, we're similar in a lot of ways. We've got guys that understand their roles, Maxie. We've got unselfish guys, and they're so coachable, and they like each other, and it's just been a we've got 10 losses, but, in those losses, we learned a lot and become better, and we are just excited about where we're at.
Well, I mean, you said that 10 losses, and nobody expected you guys to lose 10 games, to be quite honest with you, this year, and you had some new people, et cetera, and then you had some illness, the flu, some of that stuff. What happened this year? Because, you're used to Crete and running the table or, three-loss season, that kind of thing. You guys were kind of all over the map. What was that like in December and January?
Well, it's called adversity, right? We had a bunch of it. We make no excuses with – the pandemic and some illness and stuff like that, but other teams had those situations as well. You want to be playing your best basketball in March, and we've won 8 in a row, like a lot of teams, and we just feel fortunate to be here, and we don't make excuses, right? We just come out and fight and keep competing, and that's what our guys have done, and our coaching staff has prepared our fellows, and they're ready for battle next week.
What'd you do to bring them together when you're getting through that? Because you knew you had the pieces.
Yeah. You know, it's just believing. It's confidence. Believing in their ability and then just making sure that they're on the same page. I think what's a lost art is communicating to players, having a lot of one-on-one meetings, making sure the team is on the same page and that we just kind of validate each other that, you know, there's no I in team. We're all together in this and making sure that, yes, we have some dynamic players, but we can't do it without Miles Bollinger. We can't do it without Adam Tower. We can't do it without, you know, some of our other guys, and they stepped up and have been huge for us.
Now, you mentioned Trey Holloman, the much-celebrated point guard that's going to Michigan State. What was the process like with him? You've had different players recruited, of course, since you've been there. What was it like for him in terms of the college recruiting process?
Yeah, I mean, he had over 30 or 40 offers. I don't even know the number. He could have picked anywhere he wanted to go. And I just think for Trey, he just fell in love with Coach Izzo and that staff as far as the way they recruited him, the way they did it the right way. They just really exhibited a lot of things that he wants to do as a point guard. And what point guard would want to play for Coach Izzo, right? I mean, he's a point guard kind of coach. And Trey can take Coach Izzo. There'll be a different level of that at that Division I level. Trey will be able to handle that. And the thing about Trey is anything that comes his way with adversity, he just rises up to the challenge, and he always finds a way to get it done. And, you know, love Coach Johnson, Coach Thor at Minnesota. They got the job, you know, it was a little bit late. But they're great. They're great recruiters and great guys, and they're getting a lot of Minnesota kids to stay home. But for Trey, this was a great natural fit for him, and we're excited.
Now, Jerry, you counsel a lot of players through this, because and those that leave and go play different places as well, like Hadley is transferred, et cetera. This transfer portal thing, how is that concerning to the high school players that come out and they're going, well, I don't know if they're going to recruit a grad transfer. How has that changed the game for where you sit? Because you talk to a lot of college coaches.
I've got a player right now, Donovan Kane, who pre-pandemic era, pre-transfer portal stuff, this guy's a Division I talent, would have probably anywhere from 15 to 25 offers. And, yes, he's only been 1 year with us, but to answer your question, Max, it's changed everything because now the colleges wait on these grad transfers to see,
sure,
hey, can I get a 22-year-old senior versus an 18-year-old freshman.
And that's what they're in his case, that's what they're measuring is they're saying, yeah, we like your game, kid, but you're going to have to wait because we got to see what happens in April here, huh?
And that's where you see a lot of players now going to prep school because they just can't find maybe the place they want to go, or maybe it's the level or whatever. And so that's really becoming a factor. And you saw Kendall Blue do that, go to Sunrise Christian Academy, and some other players have done that out of Minnesota. And so, again, it's changed the culture and recruiting for colleges in a big time. It's really kind of hurt the high school student athlete.
Well, are there enough prep schools in the country, though, to facilitate that, or are more popping up? Because this has been, you know, kind of problematic for a lot of high-end players.
You know, Max, I wish I could answer that. That would be a Tony Yazbek. Yaz would be able to know that one. I don't know how many prep schools are out there. I know, obviously, we've got some, but as far as the number, I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, everybody says that, and I suppose, you know, in junior college you can go, but then the clock starts ticking for you. That's kind of a lost art, too. But like you take a kid like Trey, who's been under the spotlight for a long time, and Izzo comes and talks to him, does he say specifically, this is what we expect from you when you get there, this is what we think you can do? How in-depth do they go, or is it more like, hey, once we get you, we'll fill in the blanks?
No, those guys are direct. They want a guy who defends. They want a guy with some toughness. They want a guy that they know. I mean, I just remember hearing the conversations in our gym and listening to what Coach Izzo would say at USA Basketball out in Colorado when you go watch a talent out there, and they're very direct. And they're only going to recruit a certain kind of guy. Not everybody can play for Coach Izzo. That's just the truth.
Yep.
So you're either going to fit what they do, or they're moving on to the next guy.
Yep. So they identify you. You want in. Okay, you don't. We move on. You want in. You're all in, and you're a Spartan, huh?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, Daniel Turow you had as well, and of course he had a nice career with the Gophers and then left, got drafted, et cetera. Where is he at right now?
He is with the Windy City Bulls and the Chicago Bulls G League, doing a fantastic job, putting up some serious numbers. We're hoping that he gets back in the league. If not this year, obviously have a chance next year, but he's putting up massive double-doubles, doing well. But, again, we'll see where his future holds, but he's got, you know, still high aspirations, and we're hoping the best for him.
And guys like that looking for a 10-day, is that their next step for them? And then you hope you impress somebody and stick? Or how is that game played?
Yeah, he's had about three or four of those, Max, yeah. Where he's had the 10-dayers in Toronto and, you know, the Clippers, and I think it was Denver or something like that. But it's kind of crazy because with all the COVID and players and all the things they get to do for exemptions, yeah, you hope he sticks on somewhere that someone can use a power forward of his ability. And we'll see how that transpires.
Jerry, you get seated, of course, this week, and then you figure it out from there. But you've had a chance to at least scan the Class 4A field. What stands out to you?
Talent, yeah. And talent. I mean, Park Center, Wayzata. Looks like Eden Prairie might upset Shakopee here. I don't know if you want to call an upset, but they're up 12 with under 5 minutes left. But Owatonna won tonight. And so, I mean, you got just a plethora of talent everywhere in this level, and who's ever going to survive Saturday night has earned it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and you guys, you play each other a lot, or, you know, there's a lot of common opponents. You know a lot about these other teams, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously Park Center's loaded. Wayzata's loaded. I mean, ECU's really talented squad. So, again, we know these teams. We play them. So there's not like there's any hidden surprises. You know, you got to have your best players playing at a high level this time of the year. There's no question.
And it looks like that's where you guys are at right now.
Yeah, we're fortunate, and we're playing a really good brand of basketball. And again, we're just, you know, like you said, we're happy to be here, but we're not satisfied. We got some unfinished business from last year, and we know that it's going to take a lot, and we're excited for the opportunity.
And Tuesday is when it starts for you, right?
Yeah, we have a seating tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and then we'll play at the Target Center at Tuesday, either 10, noon, 2, or 4. And then it turns over to Williams Arena after that.
All fun, though. All good stuff. Hey, Jerry, thank you so much, and congratulations.
Hey, Max, I appreciate you and all your coverage of prep sports. You're awesome, man.
Our pleasure completely, and say hi to the Yaz Bowl.
I will do it.
Okay. Jerry Klein on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We come back, another update on the NCAA tournament and more. Stay with us. 8:21 and change, Sports to the Max, the show. Fergus Falls and the Colbeck girl off to a good start, 19-5. They are leading Minnehaha Academy in girls basketball. Providence Academy won earlier. Hancock and Mineota in Class 1A will play for the championship after winning today. So that's going on. High school basketball, Eden Prairie, looks like they may upset Shakopee. Up in double digits late in that game, and more to come on that. Minneapolis North playing tonight, et cetera, et cetera. The NCAA tournament is in round one, day two. Chris Tubbs, get us up to speed.
All right, let's get you the latest here, Maxie. We do have a few games right now. Arizona continues to have a little bit of breathing room over Wright State, 1-16, 82-67. The Wildcats right now with about 2.5 minutes left to go. At last we checked, Iowa State and LSU. Mentioned Gabe Kalscher had four in the first half. Right now, Iowa State up on LSU, 31-28. You mentioned the final, Illinois, the four-seeded Illini. They got a scare. I thought the Mocs got a pretty good look, Maxie, at the end of that game. They got a good shot from about maybe 15 feet off the left elbow.
Yeah, and that's where you go. Either you make it or you go home, right?
Yeah, and the Illini, they survived 54-53. Duke Coach K moving on as the Dukies, 78-61 over Cal State Fullerton. And we got four games that have yet to tip off. Coming up in about 17 minutes, it's 5th-seeded Houston and 12th-seeded UAB in the South. In the West, one more Big Ten team, Michigan State. And at Davidson, that should be a fun one right there. Third-seeded Wisconsin in the Midwest. You talked to John Bryant earlier.
Yeah, taking on Colgate.
Yeah, they take on my daughter picked Colgate because it's toothpaste, for the record.
It's clean.
It's clean. Fighting the plaque, they are. Wisconsin and Colgate at 8:50. And then at 8:57, the final game of the first round features A-seeded Seton Hall and the Pirates and TCU, the Horned Frogs.
Nine seed, right?
Yeah, the nine seed that is in the South.
Yeah, Arizona going to win this one going away with Wright State. Last night we were getting ready to do the news, and this happens, and not that people at home care, but, you know, you're watching the game, getting ready to do the news, and all of a sudden you're going, there's a chance this could go to overtime.
And that's like the worst thing you want at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I love just watching a good game too, you know. And this game was great, right?
Yeah, it was.
Murray State and
San Francisco.
And it, I mean, it was a terrific overtime. But I didn't get home until after 1 in the morning. was done. And I don't want to think that selfishly. But one of the reasons that I don't do pools and pick the brackets, if I can avoid it, is I hate the thought of rooting against a kid that I know nothing about or getting angry with a kid because he doesn't perform up to what I need him to perform to so that my brackets are better. And I always feel bad and guilty about that.
And that's a problem that people – I've never understood that. Like, I love to have skin in the game, whether it's, you know, fantasy in the NFL or the NBA or the NCAA. But I will never understand, Maxie, the point that people get so upset – and start lashing out at people they don't know, and especially kids. It's like these athletes went out there. They didn't go out there with the intent of costing you money. Like, they went
out there. They're just playing.
They're playing. And you know what? Everybody makes those mistakes. And it's just, I cannot understand the people that get so wrapped up emotionally and are just so negatively charged when something happens. They take it personally. So you need to realize that this – it's fun, like to look at the bracket. It's fun, like a story, like St. Peter's in Kentucky. Yeah, it blew up a lot of brackets,
and that's why I want to be able to enjoy that. I don't want to be able to look at that.
You feel like you won't be as objective.
No, I'm out now. Yeah. Kentucky, I had going to the Final Four. Now I don't want to watch a game like that. That's why I didn't do bracket skins because I don't want to watch a game like that. I want to watch a game and go, gosh, this is fun to watch this game.
Yeah, and I would hope that you know people would look at the story like UMBC several years ago, you know, George Mason, you know,
George
some of these schools when they just showed
Loyola,
Loyola of Chicago. Yeah. It's like you look at these schools and at what point do you get over the fact that your bracket got busted, but it's just a great story.
Oh, yeah, man. Loyola went down there to San Antonio. I mean, we were down there doing – I was working the final – we went down to the Final Four because it was coming here next year. And Loyola's got their fan base small but, you know, boisterous. And we're walking. We go, well, let's do something with a Loyola fan just that, because we're doing down stuff for
– Well,
and so I grab a Loyola fan, and I interview her. And I said, you seem to know a lot about this program. She said, I should. My husband's the coach. So that was down in San Antonio.
And it's a great human interest piece.
It was a great human interest piece. Obviously, Sister Mary got all the attention that went with it. But it all made sense, and you need something like that.
Everybody loves Sister Jean. And that's
Sister Jean.
Yeah, and it's like if you have one identifiable character of an underdog program that people attach themselves to.
You need one.
You need
blue bloods too, but you need one.
Yeah. I feel like the blue bloods still are kind of like the heels, right? They're like the bad guys. And
they are, but yet you want to see the best play too, you know?
Yeah, well, I remember a couple.
Even if you want to root against them, you want to have a blue blood in there to root against. You don't want two Cinderellas because then you don't know who to cheer for.
I remember when.
If St. Peter's would end up playing San Francisco, you'd go, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I know. Well, like when the last one was here in 2019, what, Auburn, Texas Tech, Virginia, and Michigan State. And I remember that, you know, everybody's so excited. Man, if you get Coach K, you know, could win his third one here.
Well, Trey Jones was on that team. He thought he was going to come home for his freshman year with Zion.
And Zion, too. Yeah. I mean, people like Zion.
And Coach K would have been 3-for-3 at Minnesota had he won that tournament. And they were the favorites going in.
Yeah, and everything kind of falls apart. And you're like, well, okay, well, you know, where are we going to get the story from? And yeah,
you don't have to worry about that. You'll find one.
Yeah,
there was a well played Virginia with Coach Bennett, and, you know, Nick Bennett, who we were talking about before coming back here. It was fun stuff. When we come back, we got a fun story, not a fun story, a serious story on the rally tonight about a guy who's a referee and a sports parent and a firefighter, and he makes that commitment to make a community go. What happened to him and what happened to the community? Coming up next. Stay with us. Tom Buddy joins us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. He is the fire chief in Melrose. And I was up there earlier this week to do a story, compelling, because it's about one of the guys he fights fires with over the years that he's good friends with, a guy that runs the food services at the school. He's got three kids that participate in sports and who referees at the side. He's one of those guys that makes the town of Melrose go. And until this winter, and we'll get to that in a minute. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Hey, good evening, Mike. Glad to be a part of your show.
Yeah, we're going to play this, do a TV special on tonight on our sports rally after the 10 o'clock, on the 10 o'clock news, which will get on me a little late because of basketball tonight. But explain who Aaron Schmitz was.
You know, Aaron Schmitz was a very dedicated guy. He was a gentleman that dedicated to his family, like you mentioned earlier, the Kim and the three kids, and then he was dedicated to the community of Melrose, serving on several boards and serving on the Melrose Fire Department for 20 years. And he was also dedicated to his work. Like you mentioned, he was the cafeteria, the food service director at the Melrose High School, and every kid knew him. He knew every kid. He was the glue for the community.
And you worked with him side by side. I mean, literally going in and fighting fires together for years, right?
That's correct, Mike. Aaron and I joined the department 20 years ago, the first come January, this past January. And let me tell you, when you talk about brotherhood on different things, and I don't think people really understand it until they actually go through some of this stuff and on the fire side of things, we would go into fires. He had my back. I had his back. We knew as a team we were coming out together. He was a brother to me.
And people have probably denoted that we're talking about him in past tense. Explain what happened this winter, just less than a month ago.
Yeah. He went into had a situation with his appendix. Got transferred down to the St. Cloud Hospital. Got out. Complications to the surgery. Had a seizure and Sunday evening, basically 6 days later, had two seizures and was unable to make it through those two. And it's devastating to the community.
46 years old, three kids, mentioned a brother to you on the fire department. What was that period of time like for you and as you got the call? When did you know that the outcome was not going to be what anyone desired?
You know, it was... when you're on the department, you can hear the pagers go off when ambulance and different departments go off. And we heard the ambulance get called to this house, and it brought a pit to my stomach. But thinking, okay, we've got excellent healthcare services in the
sure.
community that they'll get him. And then Kim actually had the doctor call me Sunday night and tell me the news at 10:15 that he had passed away. He didn't make it. And I'm like, you're kidding me. And it's like, you just freeze. I guess there's no better way to say it, Mike. You just froze. And it's like, this can't be true. At 46 years old, I just talked to the guy. I mean, we had some things, we had a relationship that was just unbelievable.
Mm. Now, 5 days later after his death, part of the story tonight, he's got a son that's a senior on the basketball team at Melrose, and as most schools do at the end of the year, they have a parents' night or a senior night, whatever you want to call it, where the player walks out with the senior member on the team, and they honor them before the game. And so that was slated just 5 days after his passing, and obviously his mother's still with him, but his father no longer. Explain what happened next.
Sure. So Sunday night, my wife and I go up to the hospital. We just, as the fire department, like I said, we're one family. We want to be there to support her and the kids. And we were talking with her, and she said, oh, all Aaron talked about when he got home from the hospital was his, I'm going to walk out on the court, Derek, with you for senior night because I know what it means to you. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. And when he couldn't, and Kim was talking to me about that, I said, Kim, there's 24 guys that will support you, Aaron and Derek. We will walk out on the court if that's what you want us to do. She looked at me and she says, yes, I want you guys there because I know he's a part of your family and you're part of our family. Please, please have us walk out on the court with us.
And so you
so
did.
We, We did. And let me tell you, there was not a dry eye on the court. Mm. I mean, the school system, that's his workplace. Everybody knew him. Aaron was at just about every home game, whether it be working the concession stands, helping out, making sure the food was going good. But everybody knew him. He reffed lower-level games, so the younger kids knew him. And so when we walked out on there, and then the coolest part, I think, Mike, was the whole gym just stood up and applauded for about 5 minutes. Unbelievable.
How is his son handling it?
You know, it's we all process things on our own time.
And yes, we do.
He's talking through it a little bit, and it's a struggle. I truly believe they made their first round of playoffs, and they won the first game. And I truly believe that was for Aaron, and Aaron had a hand in it. So,
because they were the big underdog in that game.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, when I heard it, brought tears to my eyes. That Mauro's won. I'm like, you guys did it for Aaron. That's what I feel, anyways. But
yeah,
you're right. He Derek's doing well. The younger daughter, Jaden, she's doing okay. I think a little more of a struggle than the older girl daughter Stephanie is.
She's at 25.
With it as well.
There's no easy way through this. You go in for appendicitis and you don't come out, and you're 46 years old, and you've got this wonderful personality that everybody respects. But there's also something about being in a small town when that happens, particularly when you're active in a small town like he was, and to be amongst people like yourselves who are also active in a small town like that make the whole thing tick. That fire department that you've got, that really is quite a fraternity, isn't it?
It is, and seeing the guys that came forward, and I threw out to the guys, I'm like, you know, we got to wash the trucks. And, I mean, this is a big thing. We got to make sure the trucks are cleaned up and ready to go, and everything's done. And man, everybody was there. I would get messages throughout the week. Is there something, Chief, that you need me to do? Is there something that we can do for Kim? I mean, we cooked meals for the kids. I mean, the department as a whole, I couldn't be prouder. I mean, they came together, and they're supporting Kim and the family as best as we can.
Well, you guys keep up the great work. It was so impressive to watch what you've done, and I can just see the spirit that you have as a leader for that entire fire department. And we'll bring you the story with pictures tonight on our 10 o'clock news as part of our rally. But, Tom, thank you so much, and I commend you and wish you – I know it's tough times for everybody, and, keep healing one day at a time, buddy.
That's all we can do, and I appreciate all that you've done for us to bring this to light. I mean, it's fabulous. It's a great story. Unfortunately, not the best light we'd like to see a different outcome, but thank you for all that you've done, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
Tom Buddy, Fire Chief Melrose, had to lay one to rest that they never anticipated before. When we come back, we got another team in a national championship game, a local team. We'll go live to the scene when we come back on Sports to the Max. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. NCAA tournament time, March Madness. Minneapolis North posting an impressive 80-52 win over Maranatha tonight to go back to the state tournament. Should be good. Eli King and Caledonia, who could be their biggest competition in 2A, won last night in overtime. Eli King is going to Iowa State next year. And a great athlete, great player. He's one of the players to watch and certainly one of the top players in the state. So there you go. We've got a crew up watching Princeton and Becker tonight, too, which should be really good. It's probably over by now. But Princeton has just drawn rave reviews from people. And if Owatonna beat Farmington, Farmington is one of the better teams that I saw in the state this year when they played well. If they beat them, they're pretty darn good. And if Eden Prairie beat Shakopee, Shakopee's really good. To get them this time around at Shakopee's a tough thing. So Hermantown, who made their name in hockey, turns out they got a pretty good basketball team as well. They beat North Branch tonight 59-53. So here they come. The Hawks coming back down again. Why not to play some basketball this time? Fergus Falls winning big tonight in girls basketball over Minnehaha Academy. Earlier, Providence won in a good game. They look pretty good against Albany. And then Hancock, boy, do they shoot the ball well, the Hoot Owls. And they were very impressive in winning. So too was Minneota. Minneota comes back for another chance to win another state championship. This would be their third straight with one interrupted because they were in the semifinals that year that it got called off because of COVID. So all of that is on the line. We hope to connect with Mike Carroll. He's the head coach of the Gustavus women's hockey team, and they are destined now for the national championship game. They won, so they move on to play in the finals. I don't know who they're playing in it, but we'll keep you updated on that as well. Augsburg plays tomorrow night with a chance to go to the Final Four. And tomorrow is just going to be an incredible day for sports at 4 o'clock right here on WCC. We got a doubleheader really because we got the Twins playing at noon, and then they'll take us to about 3:30. Then about 3:30, the old pregame kicks in, and then at 4 o'clock, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Minnesota Timberwolves at Target Center. And obviously, the Bucks coming back, the reigning champions. If you watch this team, if you recall, back in October. The Wolves went into Milwaukee. Milwaukee was struggling a little bit at the time, but not the point. The Wolves beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee. And I still believe it wasn't necessarily a turning point in the season because they had a couple of slumps after that, some short slumps. But they found a way to beat Milwaukee that night and I think gain a great deal of confidence, self-respect, and respect in the league. And I think some of that carried over. In an 82-game season, you have very few signature wins. But that would have been one of them. Usually got five or six if you make a big move. I don't know if the one the other night qualifies because they played the Lakers, and I said this there, and I'm out there and I'm going, hey, where are the Lakers? Are the Lakers not going to show up tonight? I mean, the uniforms are the same. The names in the back are the same, but it sure doesn't seem like it's the Lakers. And, you go and you realize that they're not going to turn the switch. It's not possible. You know, Russell Westbrook isn't going to become in his prime overnight. Neither is Carmelo Anthony. Neither is LeBron James. LeBron was probably LeBron was just missing free throws and he just looked off. He did. He looked really, really off. And it's like he'd take the three-pointer and he'd be 23 feet out and he'd come up short and you'd go, how is that happening? Same with Carmelo. It's like their legs are giving way. And I can remember many years ago, I'll never forget this, going out to Target Center, and I don't remember who was playing for the Timberwolves at the time, but they were playing Charlotte. And Patrick Ewing played his final year in Charlotte. You forget this stuff, right? And in New York Knick, obviously. But he played his final year or two, whatever it was, in Charlotte. And you know, they brought him in, you know, probably give me 15 minutes and we'll be a playoff team, all those things. I don't recall. But I remember watching the game and going, I really feel sorry for Patrick Ewing because his coordination isn't there. His hop isn't there. His sense of timing isn't there. It just doesn't work. And I just remember going, okay, that's what it looks like when you're no longer in your prime. And that's what the Lakers look like. And it was, you know, kind of sad that's what they look like, but that's what they look like. Tubbsy, you're going tomorrow to the Timberwolves game, right?
Yes. Yeah, we are going there, and I'm excited to see Giannis, but this will also be the first time that I'm getting a chance to see Anthony Edwards. And, I mean, right now the Wolves, they kind of seem to be the it team in the NBA that people are like, what's going on with these guys? I mean, the Wolves haven't been relevant at this time of the year in years. I mean, the one hiccup a few years ago. So I'm excited to see what the environment will be against a top of the line quality team with the reigning MVP, the reigning NBA champs. I want to see with the measuring stick. I want to see what it looks like in person.
Yeah, you're going to get a look at it, and then they get Dallas, who's another team they're chasing in the standings, obviously.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's all good. It's good to see what they can do and see if they can, you know, if they can do anything with these teams, these big boys that they're kind of looking at and lurking with in the standings. And there's an outside chance they can still catch Denver. But either way, you just want to find out where they stack up and what the realistic expectations would be in a playoff series. Right now, they would go play Golden State or Memphis, and I don't think either one of those would be good matchups for him right now, but that's not here nor there. You're looking for progress, and you're looking for, you know, not just this year, but am I interested in watching this team next year is where this thing's at.
Yeah, and I mean, I give the Wolves credit for the soft underbelly of the schedule that they went through, and they beat teams by, you know, 20, 30 points, and that's what you're supposed to do, because these were games historically that the Wolves probably would have stubbed their toe, and they would have been the team that, you know, would have been that speed bump, but they did exactly what they needed to do to put themselves in a position where I don't know if they're going to be able to catch Denver or Utah or Dallas. I mean, if they're in that seventh spot, I think they're in a prime spot to move on. Because the only thing that would concern me is, yeah, if LeBron does catch fire in a one-game playoff, but what we saw a couple nights ago, you're like,
nothing. Bring them on, man.
Yeah, nothing about that team.
Plus, you can still win your way back even if you lose the first one, you know, so it's not like it's lost.
It's not a one and done.
Yeah, but I think it would take all their energy, all their strength, the Lakers, that is, to beat the Timberwolves at Target Center based on what I saw the other night. Even if they do have Anthony Davis, they don't have the point guard that really makes them go right now, you know?
No,
I mean, the guy that can take the pressure off of James and these guys and just make them shooters and get them one-on-one and ISOs, they don't have that right now.
That roster got old really quick.
Yeah, they're going to have to rebuild that whole thing. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that, how they're going to get out from under it all. Obviously, they'll allow LeBron to keep playing. Anthony Davis still has years left in him. But if LeBron is getting old, you got a big problem.
Yeah, you got to blow it up. You got to do.
But the good thing is about there, Tubbsy, you know, hey, raise the hands. Everybody wants to come out and play in L.A. Lots of hands go up.
And that's the thing. It's like, yeah, you're going to go out there and you're going to play, but to me, when I hear the speculation, oh, LeBron's going to go. LeBron's not going to go anywhere else because he's in L.A. LeBron's got one foot out the door. I mean,
he can't take you there again. So it doesn't matter if he goes somewhere else. You know?
I mean, his right now, everything for LeBron is about his entertainment company. He can say he's about the basketball. He's about the entertainment company. He's about producing. He's about directing. He's about doing other things. You do that in L.A., right? So to me, it's like the Lakers. That window has firmly closed. You're going to have to blow it up. And do you – LeBron doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. But, yeah, the thing is, like, the Lakers are kind of handcuffed right now because they got all these broken-down stars. I mean, Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis and, I mean, you know what, James Worthy and, you know, Cooper and, you know, Magic and Byron Scott. Thank you, Hammer.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, Sven Nader.
Kurt Rambis, you know? I know those are.
Kurt Rambis, the former Timberwolves coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Michael Thompson on the other day. He was a good backup there for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I guess this HBO documentary they got, or whatever you want to call it, a series on Showtime. I don't know. Have we had any reviews on that thing? It's about the Lakers back in their glory days.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got John C. Reilly, and I like John C. Reilly, but he's in a comedic. He's a comedic guy for me.
What
I don't know that I can take
play?
Him.
Does he play Pat Riley?
I don't know. I'll have to watch it this weekend and give you an update.
Yeah, I mean, those things are always a little bit risky if you know the people that are really involved, because sometimes they can become bad actors. Yeah. Steve Thompson's in next. A lot on high school sports and a busy day coming up tomorrow. Almost historical day in Minnesota. A lot of sports going on. He'll have it all covered when we come back on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.